This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello. And welcome to the Carson Anderson program. I am Doug Karsh. That is Scott the Gator Anderson. Hope you are doing well on this Monday. Hope you had a great weekend. And away we go on another week. Scott Anderson, how was your weekend?
It was nice. You know, weather was pretty good.
Yeah.
Went for a nice long walk on Saturday. Dog cooperated. So it was good.
Yeah.
And dinner Saturday night and just kind of relaxed a little bit yesterday.
Dog cooperated.
Yeah. Well, she was... She was a good girl on the walk, so we went for the full 2.5 mile walk.
You have to make a call at some point earlier in the walk if whether or not she's gonna.
That's right. If there's when I come up to this street, do I turn right for the medium walk or do I keep going straight?
Right, and
she was a good girl.
She was being well behaved, huh?
Yes, I mean there's three levels. If she's just completely unruly out of the gate and bad. It's the first right that I can take, and it's just literally going around the block, and it's, you know, a half-mile walk. If she's fine, we're going to chance the second. And then if she becomes unruly, then we make the right, and it's a mile and a half walk.
Mm-hmm.
If she's a good girl, then we continue straight, and we take the last right we can take, which makes it a 2.5 mile jaunt.
Yeah.
So that was good. And obviously watched lots of sports this weekend.
Dude, a lot.
There was so much going on. It was pretty great. And by the time I got home on Saturday night, I was watching the end of the hockey game with Western, and that was cool. I felt bad for Jim, but outside of that, I did not
feel bad for Jim at all. I think it's hysterical, and the Lawson Lunatics took over. Like it's like one of those deals where. I feel like the Western Michigan sports fan, they got this a little bit of this with the Cotton Bowl back in the day when they took on, was it Wisconsin? When PJ Flick, I think it was Wisconsin and the Cotton Bowl. But it's one of those, I've been waiting all my life for this moment. We collectively, generally, as a sports fan, we don't get to participate in stuff like this. Oh my God, we've crashed the party. Holy crap, we might win the thing. And I mean, that was St. Lawson, Missouri, right? I mean, it was totally Western fans. So good for them, and I'm sure they'll get plenty of champ votes for this weekend. But I don't have anything specific against Boston University, but it is indeed Boston, and it is a college hockey blue blood. So Broncos were clearly the underdog and a team that everybody could get on board, right? Well, everybody except Jim Costa.
Well, everybody except for Central fans. Yeah, there's a healthy rivalry there. So I would think that would be the case. But yeah, they're easy team to get behind as long as you didn't matriculate from Mount Pleasant. You're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But it was extraordinary. They piled it on in the third period. It was incredible. Like that went through. And it was like BU was struggling. And then they get their goals weren't pretty.
Dude, their goals were ugly.
And you're like, is that even a goal? Even the announcers like that shouldn't be a goal. And they
everything was a scrum, and it was a puck dead, and we got to review it, and nothing, no like tic tac toes.
Right, and thankfully, as you and I would both be thankful for this, no controversy in it, because even though they allowed the goal, mm-hmm. Western more than held their own, and they end up winning the whole thing. And I was happy, and then I started getting uncomfortable. Because we've been through this before as well. In 2009, when the Wings lost at home in Game 7 to Pittsburgh, it took forever for the handshake line to get going. And I was like, all right, this is getting uncomfortable now. Would you guys line up and just shake hands and continue your celebration?
Yeah,
because the BU guys were like, they were devastated, as you can see, as they should be. But then it just turns into this uncomfortable, hey, stop being a jerk. Let's go. Shake hands.
Right.
And, you know, to this day, I got over it a while back, but the whole
Sidney Crosby thing.
Sidney Crosby just took forever.
And some of the wings left the ice. They were like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't blame them. There should be agreed upon rules. Have your little dog pile, but get to the handshake line quickly. Yeah, and then go take the picture. One of the great pictures in sports is the hockey with the trophy dog pile, where it just looks like this massive humanity. All you can see, basically you can see like two or three guys laying down in the front, and then the rest is just heads and the trophy. It's one of the great things that hockey has, is the trophy dog pile picture.
Maybe not hand out championship t-shirts and hats until after the handshake line too, because that was awkward as they're skating through and people are holding the cardboard cut out of the Frozen Four.
Right.
Wearing a championship hat with a big giant smile on their face, with the most just disingenuous handshake you could ever see.
Yeah.
But look, I don't want to take anything away because it was awesome. Great for Western. Congratulations to Bronco Nation with that one.
Yep.
That was great. And, you know, obviously everything else over the weekend was pretty fun to watch too.
So Mondays mean Champ and Chump, who had the best weekend, and you want to give them the champ vote, and who has a weekend that stunk and you think they deserve to be called out. 248-539-9797. Get your champ and chump votes in, and we will get to yours in a minute. Tigers take 2 of 3 at Minnesota. Rory wins the Masters. That was as much in sports. This term gets used a lot. That was a roller coaster ride. That was up and down. That was moments of brilliance followed by missed opportunity, made up for with another moment of brilliance, and then another missed opportunity. And Justin Rose just kept plugging away. He came from 6 shots back at one point on Sunday. And then he makes a bunch of shots, but then the putt on 18, and then Rory misses hit. I mean, it was
like that over the weekend. Going into it, you had Rory at the end of the first round kind of collapsed. Had a couple of brain farts, and same thing happened on Sunday.
Dunks one in the water Sunday.
And Saturday was a day of just like missed opportunities. He didn't hurt him as much, but it's like, I can't believe you missed that shot. How did you miss that shot? And that putt didn't go in, and this didn't go in. And you know, you start to add those up and you're like, he should be up by like 8 strokes going into the final round. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't. And I'm very glad that he was able to hold on and win it. I was rooting for him, wire to wire rooting for him. And of course, the last day you get so many things just set itself up for this being an awesome Masters final. I'm curious to see the ratings, because I think they'd be through the roof.
So they were down in the first round, and I think down rather significantly, but Sunday was such good theater.
Yeah, you get Bryson DeChambeau and Rory McIlroy, and after 2 holes, now they're even. And you got the LIV golfer versus the guy who refused to go to LIV and was the
kind of MF the LIV
guys.
Yeah,
right. I mean, this was the guy who carried the banner for the PGA Tour against the guys that took the money. This is what you wanted to see. And then, you know, it wasn't long before Bryson found himself completely irrelevant to the whole discussion, as he just tanked. And then Rory was up and down like a roller coaster, like you said, and everybody else started playing up, and you felt like, if this has another round to it, he's not going to win this, because Scottie Scheffler's playing better. And like you mentioned, Justin Rose coming back, and your buddy Patrick Reed starts playing well, and you know, all this, the other players start coming back. But this, hey, 4 rounds, man, it's a grind, and Rory finally was able to shake that loose and come away with a win.
Champ and Chump, get your votes in. We got a lot to discuss, and we're lined up and ready to go here on a Monday on Carson Anderson on 97.1 The Ticket.
Hey, if you've ever had any issue at all with the garage doors, maybe it's just sticking, or maybe you can't figure out what's going on with it, it's just not working properly, you need some repairs, the only place to call is Precision Garage Door Service. They are absolutely amazing. I've had them at my house a couple of different times, once for repairs, and they came out right away, able to diagnose the problem, fix the problem. And then years later, when I just flat out needed new garage doors, because I was, you know, trying to hang on them as long as I could, I called them and they came out right away and they picked out the perfect door for my house, and I could not be happier. They're amazing. They offer the industry's leading warranty. It's the Precision Promise, by the way. All calls are answered 24/7, actually by a live person, so that's pretty great. And they also offer worry-free financing. That's available to you. Now, here's how you get in touch with them. You give them a call at 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or you can visit their webpage at precisiondoormi.com. The best part about that, you can schedule your appointment online at a time that works for you. You're not just beholden to what their schedule is or window of opportunity. They're willing to work with you. Again, give them a call today, 1-800-DOOR-REPAIR, or go to precisiondoormi.com and schedule that appointment.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, 248-539-9797. Let's get to your phone calls. We got a Matt. You're on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Matt.
Hey, good morning, guys. So, Champ and Chump.
Yep.
Chump is going to be Nico, however you say his name, for holding the team hostage.
Iamala Avala.
Yeah, and my Champ is going to be the Tennessee, either the coach or the athletic department, whoever, who kicked them to the curb. Because I'm hoping more schools do that to players, because I'm sick of players holding teams hostage because they want more money, even though they're mediocre at best.
Well, I would say this, Matt, and let this thing play out and let all the facts come out in the case, because I'd hate to jump to a conclusion and say that's exactly what happened. It may be exactly what happened, but, you know, what if it's, you know, Tennessee didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They had promised something.
At this point, Gator's right. And Matt, I understand your Chump vote. In fact, I'm on board with it. Yeah. That's going to be my Chump vote, and it's based solely on the information that's available now. I searched far and wide to find out what the Iamaliava camp had to say, and there's not a lot of – I know his dad said something, but is there a belief that he got misled or hosed in a deal? It doesn't sound like it. At this point, the information that's available, it looks like Iamaliava's camp is, and it's really his camp. I'm not sure how much it's the kid, but there's an agent and a dad involved that were shopping him around.
Well, and here's the other thing. With the other shoe to drop, is where is he going to go?
Yeah.
And if he goes somewhere else, I mean, I would imagine immediately if you're Tennessee, you want to launch an investigation. Oh, did you maybe contact the player ahead of time and promise him something to get him to leverage us?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be very concerned about Tennessee about that. But this is the issue we have with one of the many issues. This is what's going to happen now with NIL money. Is it because the NCAA doesn't have the guidelines? I heard the guys talking about on the morning show, and it echoes what we've said. I think it echoes what the guys have said in the afternoon. You don't have rules in place, real firm rules, and people are just going to run amok.
There's stuff to like and there's stuff not to like about not having rules. What I love about not having rules and guardrails and anything like that is as soon as you set those up, there are going to be schools that go blasting through those rules, and we're back to a dynamic in which certain schools, wink and a nod, were breaking NCAA rules, which, you know, it was kind of acknowledged. If you set up guidelines and rules, that's going to happen again. And right now, with no guidelines and rules, it feels like suddenly on an even playing field, you can feel a shift in the power dynamic in college athletics, and I don't hate it. But 248-539-9797, John's in Dearborn and next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hey.
For Champ, I got to give it a Rory, even though I'd like to do a second one of Western Michigan hockey.
It's hard to choose.
And I'll go Rory from the historical standpoint. That's rarefied air he's in.
Mm-hmm.
First championship. Okay. Western's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's true.
It's tough. I get it. You're splitting the vote there. It's tough to do.
Yeah. For Chump, unfortunately, the Wings.
Yeah.
It's, you know, here, going to be 10 years and, you know, I'm a Stevie Eiserman fan. I wish him well, but, you know, I don't know. Some of the moves, you know, and not signing free agents, and I don't know. The Chump's got to go to the Wings, who's making early tea times.
There's so many little compartments with the Wings story. Not signing free agents, or thinking they were going to and missing. I think they really, really thought they had some people locked up last offseason. And didn't get them. there is hanging on to your own guys, which other teams covet and called about. And Eisenman's like, I'm not parting with this player or that player. That's a whole nother topic, whether or not that was a mistake. Is the patience going to pay off? I mean, they better hit. They better hit with Sandin Pelika and Danielson and the goalies, et cetera, et cetera. The coveted players that he refused to part with. There is the coaching choice of Lalonde. There was when to cut ties with Lalonde. Yep. And then there's something, and again, these are all sort of separate, could be developed as topics that deserve long-form discussion and evaluation as to why we are where we are. And then there's something that I just can't get past with the Wings. I cannot get past, because when it was said, and we can still debate the merit to this, it'd be unfreaking believable if they make the playoffs next year. And it indeed is 10 years. When Ken Holland said 9 years ago, rebuilds can take 10 years, because Red Wing fans were pushing and wanting to see them launch into a rebuild, and they kept trying to hang on. And
right.
And Holland was asked about it, and I can't remember if it was on this radio station or a press conference. I think it was on an interview on this station where he said rebuilds can take 10 years. That doesn't mean good rebuilds can't happen faster, because good rebuilds do happen faster. It'd just be wild if it's 10 years.
Yeah, and not in a good way, obviously.
No.
And, you know, lots of people want to jump on and say, well, that's what happens when they get a salary cap world, and the Red Wings were on top of it before when salary cap. And there's some truth to that, but the real truth is Red Wings didn't go out and sign
that
many free agents prior to that. So, it's where the bad job is Ken Holland's drafting. The last few years of his drafting were horrendous. They yielded so little in terms of actual talented players that are still on this team that should be the core of this team. It's sad when you look at some of those drafts. And Eisenman, on paper, has done a much better job. And even in reality, when you look at, okay, just he's hit on Raymond and Sider for sure. And he's Edvinson looks like he's good, and Casper looks like he's good, that he's hit on these guys. But Eisenman's moves in terms of off-season stuff like free agents and trades have not yielded nearly as much. He's had a couple of hits, but he's got way more misses in that regard than he does comparison to the draft.
I mean, it's been a bad job. It's just there's no other way to put it. It's, they have failed to even clear the first hurdle, which has become a playoff team. And it's incredibly disappointing. The veterans that they have brought in, and you know, like the Tarasenko signing, not a difference maker. I mean, just isn't. There are guys on the blue line that haven't paid off for them.
Tarasenko is a weird thing, man. It was a weird signing to begin with, and you know, trying to recapture a guy who was a 30 goal scorer. And when you watch him play, he doesn't look like he's burdensome. You know, he doesn't look bad, but then you look at the end of every game and you look at a score sheet and he's not on it. Mm-hmm. Like, he's out there on the ice playing meaningful minutes and looks like he's contributing, but there's nothing to show for it. Like, there's no goal, there's just no assist to it. But he doesn't look out of place on a line, if that makes any sense at all. In the end, it's not worth it. You have him for another season.
248-539-9797. Champ and Chum votes pouring in. Champ of the weekend, the Western Michigan Broncos for winning the NCAA Men's Hockey Championship. Chump of the week, Jim Costa, for being the only person from Michigan not wanting the Broncos to win. That's from John in Dearborn Heights. John, I would contend that Jim isn't the only person in Michigan that didn't want the Broncos to win. Are there other Central fans out there that
I think so?
I mean, look, it might. Jansen's point this morning, and it's very, very valid, is that when you don't have a hockey program, you don't have a history with Western hockey. I could see there being far more of a rivalry if the two played, but they don't play, so it's almost, to me, it would be ambivalent. If you're a hardcore Central fan, you just not care about college hockey because you don't have a team?
You root against Western Michigan, period.
Okay.
That's how it works. That's how rivalry works.
Do you think, I'm intrigued from the Central crowd, you know, they're more like Jim Costa, or they're more just ambivalent?
I think there would be some ambivalence.
Yeah.
But I think by and large, you'll find, I mean, if you're a diehard Central person, yeah, you're going to despise everything about Western.
Keaton writes in, Champ Rory for claiming a spot, claiming his spot as the greatest golfer of his generation. Chump Steve Eisenbeek because after a great weekend as a Western Michigan fan, I no longer have hockey to care about.
Yep.
We get it. It's Carson Anderson, open lines. We have our Champ and Chump nominations coming up today at 10:35. Here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, during the NBA play-in tournament, FanDuel is giving all customers a shot at $250 in bonus bets. All new customers, excuse me, a shot at $250 in bonus bets. Join FanDuel today and you get started with $250 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So go find yourself a prop bet. Bet the over on some small number of three-pointers or assists for somebody to hit. And you won't score big on that first $5 bet, but that's not the point. You get the $250 in bonus bets. Then you can do with those what you want. Over-unders, you can bet futures, you can bet on anything. You can hang, you can bank the money and wait till football season. Whatever you want, bank the bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Doug to get in on the NBA play-in tournament action. FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions do apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Champ and Chump, get your votes in. 248-539-9797. I'm going to read this as it's written, Gator. Scott and Carlton writes in, Champ, Western Michigan. Chump, the Wings. Also, I couldn't care. I'm sorry. Also, I could care less about Cookie struggling.
What's couldn't care less?
Yeah, I know. It's one of why that's you and I both have that same pet peeve. But because if you care, if you couldn't care less, it means you care the least amount you could possibly care. So Scott and Carlton does not care at all. I think the point he's trying to make is he could not possibly care less about the topic of Jim Costa struggling. But, I mean, look, it's pretty funny, Scott, that of all the Frozen Fours for him to choose to go to,
I know
he randomly had decided ahead of time, I'm going to go check this event out. And it turns out that his rival was playing for a net.
Oh, good sport. Good sport. And who knows? Maybe Jim will be excited to go to future Frozen Fours.
Trisha McComb says, Champ, Western Michigan hockey, Chump, the Wings. Way to string together a meaningless win streak. Yeah, I mean, look, the Wings are, this is a, it just seems, you go back to the heyday and you wonder how this could possibly happen. And it's happened. It's happened.
I don't know if I'd call it a win streak just yet either. I mean, they've won a couple games here, but it doesn't matter.
Champ Job for fantastic outing. Chump, Green, and Colt. I think Toledo stint is in their near future.
No, I don't think that's certainly not with Riley Green. Is that a possibility with Colt Keith? I don't think yet. I mean, Colt Keith is still hitting light years better than Parker Meadows did last year when they sent Parker Meadows down. And right now we'll see how this adjusts because you've got Colt Keith who's now relegated to being perhaps the DH. Because Gleyber Torres is back and because Spencer Torkelson is hitting the cover off the ball for the first 15 games of the season. So I don't think that's the case. Although Riley Green is one for his last 24 with 14 strikeouts in 7 games. And Colt Keith is 7 for his last 35 in his last 10 starts and only has 2 extra base hits on the season. Both not good, but Colt Keith technically is better over his last 10 games than he was the first 5 games.
Yeah. I mean, the thing about it is, it's not that they expect Colt Keith to keep doing what he's doing. They expect Colt Keith to return to form.
Just like I would expect Riley Green to return to form.
Yep.
But I am noticing it.
Yeah.
I certainly noticed it over the weekend that Riley Green continues to struggle, and it's the strikeouts. 14 strikeouts in the last 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
Yikes.
It was funny because I remember watching last year, sort of the cornerstone pieces of what we thought the Tigers were going to be building around were two highly regarded, highly drafted position players in Riley Green and Spencer Torkelson. They were kind of the marquee guys that they got at the top or near the top of the drafts. And there were other guys, obviously Colt Keith being one of them that was mixed in, but there were other young prospects coming up, Parker Meadows, et cetera, et cetera. But it felt like the most draft resource that was put into position players were those two players. And I remember watching last year going, man, it's got to be tough for Torque watching obviously his own struggles, but then the guy that he was, you know, kind of partnered with to be, you know, hit 3 and 4 for the next 10 years, the other guy was killing it and he was struggling.
His good buddy.
Yeah. So I'm like, man, how is Torque dealing with this while he's got his own struggles and Green is crushing it? And then this year it's inverted. Torque is crushing it and Green is struggling. And I'm like, God, last year, did they talk like the Green say, hey, keep your chin up? And a year later, is it inverted and Torque is telling Green to keep his chin up? But a part of this is baseball too, man. There's just
streaky.
Baseball is such a mental game. And there are times where you can't see the ball and you don't hit the ball and you don't.
You're all out of whack.
Yeah. And then there are times where you get fooled, throw the barrel on it, and loop a little single into right field to go 3 for 3. And you know, when you hit the ball hard, you can't. It's just wild. It's just wild.
Like Colt Keith had a hit like that the other day where he just barely made contact. It dribbles down towards third base, hugs the line, stays inside, and it ends up being a base hit. And I'm like, is that going to get him going? Eh. Well, he had 3 hits in the series, but it's not nowhere near saying, oh, he's back.
It's one of those deals where it's a product of it's like the shooter that needs to see the ball go through the hoop. You swing the bat, hit the ball, and get a base hit, no matter how ugly it is. As you said, does a little dribbler down to third get you going? You hope that it some ways helps.
But hey, if it hits iron, goes on either side of the hoop, bounces straight up in the air, and eventually rolls in, it's a basket.
Yep. All right, time for our Champ and Chump nominations. Get yours in at 248-539-9797. My champ is Western Michigan University and the hockey program and the fan base. I don't have the experience to know whether or not this is the case. I feel like the loss of Lunatics in the Western Michigan fan base took over a Frozen Four. I wonder when the last time. And I don't know the answer to this question, but I wonder, and I've watched the Frozen Four for years. I've been to Frozen Fours, but it's been a minute. But I also don't remember one fan base taking over a Frozen Four. It was amazing to watch, and congratulations to everybody involved.
My champs, Rory McIlroy, finally getting the monkey off his back and winning the Masters in his 17th try. It's no longer a storyline at Augusta. That's pretty great, and I wonder how many more majors he's going to win from here on out now that he can breathe that giant sigh of relief and just go play golf.
My chump of the weekend is, until there's more information available right now, it's Nico Iamaliava and his camp. The information that's available now sounds like they tried to leverage him against Tennessee and it failed miserably. And it's one thing, no issue with players getting paid, no issue with getting what they want, but that is a contract and a commitment that they tried to break for the best personal interest of him. And I have an issue with that. And I think he let down his team and let down the people he committed to in an effort to try and squeeze more money out of Tennessee. And I think it's a bad look.
You know, Doug, in a week where we saw Alex Ovechkin celebrate and all that at the end of last week with the goal, now the NHL has another first, and this is not good. The U.S. original six hockey teams all missed the Stanley Cup playoffs for the first time in NHL history. That's right. No Chicago, no New York Rangers, no Boston Bruins, and obviously no Detroit Red Wings in the playoffs. This is the first time since the original six started the NHL that all of the teams have missed it.
Wow. 248-539-9797.
All the U.S. Original 16s, yeah.
Get your Champ and Chump votes in. Champ and Chump brought to you by Sarah Chevrolet Sterling Heights. We tally them up and post on our website on Tuesday who the people select as the Champ and Chump of the weekend. All right, feedback coming in. Champ, the small sports nobody cares about in college hockey and golf, Chump, Tennessee, and Nico, both. Interesting, both of them. I think that Tennessee is getting a lot of praise for moving beyond and just saying, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to cave to your demands. Champ, both, but this is with the information available. And I swear, I feel like there's more to this story. You know how you get that feeling that there's going to be another side that comes out?
Well, has there even been a negotiation attempt? Like, was there? the way
you mean ever before or in this case?
I was listening to Jansen talking this morning about it, and he was, you know, saying that I think Malieva was at practice earlier this week. Thursday was a player's day off or something like that, and then Friday word gets out that that he's holding out, and then Saturday they have their spring game, and that's when Tennessee says, yeah, we're done with him. Did he even go to Tennessee and say, I want this, this, or this?
Has that
been reported?
The way I was reading an account of it, the only way Tennessee got wind of this was other coaches started calling saying, hey, this guy's practicing for you, but we got calls about him being in the portal. Is that true? And that's how Tennessee got wind of it.
Which is strange. This whole thing is weird.
That's why it feels to me like it falls on E.I. Maliava's camp, because they were shopping him while he was still at Tennessee. And that, you know. Champ Western Michigan Bronco hockey team, national champs, chump Detroit Red Wings, no playoffs again, 9 straight years.
Sucks.
Yeah, it does. Champ, whoever's responsible for the reclamation of Spencer Torkelson, chump Riley's 0-for weekend, hopefully just a mini slump. That's from Jonesy. So the Torkelson story is incredible, and I do want to get into the Tigers. I mean, back-to-back home runs on Saturday and Sunday, and you know what they're getting out of Spencer Torkelson, Casey Mize, Javi Baez. That's why I'm kind of buying into what the Tigers are doing, not because those guys are either overachieving or just white hot to start the season and they're going to revert to form. Is if you talk about reverts to form, there's ones that can go back the other way too. Mm-hmm. Green and Colt being the prime examples.
What Torkelson did over the weekend is pretty impressive. On Friday night, he hit 2 balls that missed being home runs by a combined 10 feet. Mm-hmm. I mean, just jacked them to left field, and they just went left of the foul pole. The first one, I thought, no, that's a home run. No,
I thought
it wasn't.
So too.
And then it was foul, and the second one, he pulled the same spot a little bit further left, but it's like just a matter of time. He's got this timed out, and you know he's hitting for extra bases. And then Saturday and Sunday comes, he has the home runs, the little bit bat flip yesterday, and little, you know, inspiration as he's leaving the home plate and swearing at himself and like LFG or whatever he said. And it was great. Great to see him back and producing like the player that we saw a couple years ago. And he had 31 home runs. I'm not going to be surprised at all if he goes, you know, for 30 plus this year.
So we'll get more into the Tigers today at 11:05. More Masters talk straight ahead. More Champ and Chump votes. It's Carson Anderson here on 97.1.
Looking to upgrade your outdoor space? Well, Builders First Source has you covered. With 4 Metro Detroit locations, they specialize in top quality composite decking. Brands that you trust like Trex and TimberTech and AZEK. So whether you're a DIY enthusiast or you need a certified installer, their expert team will help you build the perfect deck that stands the test of time. Visit one of their locations today in Lapeer, Auburn Hills, Clinton Township, or Shelby Township and discover why Builders First Source is your go-to for decking. Quality, service, and unbeatable value, that's the Builders First Source promise. Search buildersfirstsource.com.
So, Gator, you told us last week you were doing something that was sort of uncharacteristic, although I guess I've seen it from you. And that is, you were rooting against Bryson DeChambeau, and you were rooting against the LIV guys.
Oh, yeah.
What did Bryson shoot yesterday? 75, 76, whatever
it was? Yeah, 75, 3 over for the day.
Yeah. He struggled.
Oh, did he?
And I just want to ask you, how much did you enjoy that?
I enjoyed it a lot, but I was more focused. The funny thing was, is that once he starts to tank and he's out of it, they stop showing his shots.
Yeah.
Which is, that's the ultimate disrespect. You're in the lead group. You're in the last group, the final pairing, and all they're showing is Rory. And yep. That's great. So Bryson's not doing much of anything. Who cares? That's fantastic. But yeah, absolutely, I was rooting against the LIV guys. And then I had to, like, I would need to double check. Hey, is Justin Rose a LIV guy? Is this guy a LIV guy?
Dude, what's funny is I couldn't remember if Rose was or he wasn't. and he's not.
Right.
But I thought
maybe he was too. Yeah.
Yeah. But it sort of changed when I realized he wasn't, because I wanted Rory. Rory was outspoken against LIV Golf. And look, you know, for people who wonder what we have against LIV Golf, it's just
everything.
It's made golf there. I mean, there's some questions about certainly the funding, and they're valid, but there's also, hey, I'm a sports fan and I don't think the sport is as much fun to watch with the addition of LIV Golf. And I have never once ever in the real world heard anybody mention LIV Golf. Now, I don't hang out with guys that are, you know, professional golfers. I don't hang out with guys that belong to country clubs other than Stoney, but it never comes up. Like, the topic of LIV Golf never comes up in normal conversation. And, you know, I think it probably does for the hardcore golf fan. So we're not seeing as many of the big names on a week-to-week basis in the PGA Tour. It makes the PGA Tour less fun to watch. And nobody's talking about whatever the hell is they're doing when they're playing in their LIV events that get terrible ratings. And so, I mean, why do I care about what, you know, they can have every right to do or not do? I just know as a sports fan, they've made the game worse.
Yeah, I think they have. I mean, the split is, there's a lot of acrimony in that split. And okay. I mean, if it just means I got to root for the PGA guys, I don't have to. I'm my own person.
Right.
But I choose to.
Yep.
And
I do too.
I was very happy that Rory was able to pull it out yesterday. And yeah, I took great glee in knowing that Bryson did not. Here we are in the final group, and things are, you know, they'd flipped because of the early issue that McIlroy had in the first hole. And okay.
Well, and what you're hoping, and he's doing this, he's not just doing out of spite. Gator's hoping that the LIV guys lose their edge and realize that playing in these events that nobody's watching and nobody cares about, it's hurting their game.
Well, they're trying to make a deal, and it looks like that they have some deal, but they haven't finalized it yet between the PGA and LIV, and to get the players to come back over here, and where they would compete in the LIV Tour, but they could also compete in a bunch of PGA events, and you know, but they would have to get them to commit to a certain number, I guess, to get them here, and you know, that's the sticking point, or one of the sticking points, and they want to accumulate enough points to make sure they're part of the whole thing at the end of it, the FedEx Cup. But whatever. I don't, at this point, way to go, Rory.
And yeah, let's get to Rory, because I wonder, there was rooting against Bryson, but Bryson fell out of it. How heavily were you rooting for Rory at the end of this?
Oh, it's interesting, because as it was shaping up, and then it was Justin Rose was coming up. Justin Rose is making it. Justin Rose in the clubhouse at 11 under. I'm like, okay, well, I want Rory to win this. And then when he put the shot on 18, his approach shot, he put it in the trap, and he's like 120, 125 yards out, whatever it was. I'm like, how did you not put it on the green? All you have to do is put it in the center of the green to putt and you win. And he didn't. He put it in the trap. Hits a shot out of the trap. It's a good shot, not a great shot, and yep. Then misses that putt, and I was, no! Can't believe this. So I was rooting pretty hard for him.
I think watching Rory, and for people who didn't watch this, understand that down the stretch at Augusta, he would follow up brilliance with averageness to badness. I mean, we can sit here and debate how tough those putts were he messed. The eagle putt on, I think it was 15, where he shaped the ball around a tree over the water and rolled it up to 4 feet.
Incredible.
And now he's got an eagle putt for 4 feet to go two shots up, and he misses the eagle putt. And you're like, huh, that looked like a very makeable putt. Mm-hmm. But everything in Augusta, you know, is difficult. Like, nothing is easy.
100%.
And then the same thing. You said, you know, all he has to do.
Just put it on the green.
I mean, there was one, all you got to do is not hit it in the creek. He hits it in the creek. All he has to do is put it on the green, and he puts it in the bunker. But then to get out of the bunker, it was a great shot. I thought it was a very good shot out of the bunker. Made him, gave him a very makeable putt to win on the 72nd hole, just par this hole, and he misses that. And then he hits a brilliant shot,
on the playoff hole. Yeah.
And he followed it up with he made the putt. Now that putt, it's funny because that putt was, as Jimmy said, it's slippery off the air or boss. But I guess my question is, and for you at 248-539-9797, what's the most you've ever rooted for an athlete not a team, just an athlete to accomplish something. Because I think there were a lot of people. He's a very likable guy. I don't know that there's anything not to like about Rory, but then again, I'm not a hardcore golf fan. I'm a casual golf fan. I think you're a little bit bigger of a fan than I am. Is there anything not to like about Rory?
No, he's a very, very, very likable guy. And the way the whole thing shook out from the beginning of the tournament, when he had the par three competition, and his daughter's out there, she's 4 years old, and they go out to the green and just touch the ball here, sweetie. And she does, and it rolls and it goes down this the swale of the hole and ends up going in. It's an amazing putt, you know, and it's a great moment. And you have that. It bookends that to start the tournament, and then him collapsing on the green after winning the playoff hole and winning the tournament. It was awesome.
Raw emotion, man.
Totally. You could see how pent up it was, and it was just, you know, spilling out of him. It was great.
248-539-9797. We will answer that question. What's the most you've ever rooted for just an athlete to accomplish something? And was it Rory this weekend? We go to Eric next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Eric.
Hey guys, Champa Chump. I'm lucky enough to be able to volunteer at the Masters, so I was there all week.
Wow.
I'm a gallery guard on the 14th hole, and Champ, obviously Rory, what a tournament. I was about 100 yards from Rory when he hit that shot on 13, and all the patrons were just, you know, why did he aim at the hole? Why didn't you hit it up there? But, you know, to be on 18 and watch him collapse was just fantastic. And the crowd is just amazing. And then, my chump is, Jordan Spieth, complaining about mud balls, and as a Masters champion saying, I'm not supposed to talk about this. Well, then don't, you know? So,
I missed it. What did he say?
After his round on Saturday, they interviewed him right after the round, and he basically said, you know, I got a couple of mud balls here. It's always a problem here. You know, we're not supposed to talk about it, and it's really a problem. And like literally, that was probably the best. I've been doing this for 13 years. That's probably the best weather I've ever seen at Augusta besides Monday, for 6 days in a row, like mid 70s. Light winds and, you know, crystal blue skies. It's just amazing. And he's complaining about mud balls. So anyway, he's my chump.
Well, everybody has to play in the same conditions.
Right? This is true, Doc. Yep.
Rory's back nine yesterday. He had more.
Sorry, the second nine, Doug.
I don't work for the network. I'll call it whatever I want.
There you go.
He had more birdies and more bogeys than pars. He had three birdies, three bogeys, two pars, one double bogey. It was such a roller coaster ride. Brilliance, averageness, below averageness, brilliance.
Yeah, and then brilliance within the same hole. With a birdie to win it all.
Within the same hole.
Yeah.
He'll hit one of the most amazing shots you have ever seen. And then follow it up with how do you miss that putt? But what's the athlete you've rooted for more than any other? 248-539-9797. Not a team, but just you are rooting for an athlete to accomplish something. We go to John. You're next. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
It's a great topic. So this is not related to golf, baseball, or whatever. It was someone who I knew. 1980 Winter Olympics, speed skating, Eric Heiden. He won 5 gold medals that hadn't been done and won't be done again for an all-around like that. I knew him personally, and he raced with my younger brother. But 5 gold medals, it was amazing. And I know that was the year of, you know, the hockey team and everything. And
right.
And that caught the big attention. But for speed skaters, Eric Heiden, it was gold.
Okay,
it was
so
5 gold.
John, what kind of guy was he? What did your brother say about him?
I used to talk with him too, and we used to run together and stuff. He's just a laid back fellow. Really? Eric was always a laid back fellow. He never really went for the marketing of an Olympics. You know, he
was a doctor, right? Didn't he end up being a doctor?
Yes, he is. He's a physician. Yes, surgeon, orthopedics. And he works with the speed skating team and all these years and stuff. And just a hell of a guy. And sorry about that. And his younger sister, Beth, she was also an Olympic champion, but not as five gold as Eric did. So that was
That
was an amazing time. We used to, you know, root for him at that Olympics so much. It was crazy.
Thank you for the phone call, John, and thanks for the story. 248-539-9797. Scott is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Scott.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, person or athlete I rooted for most ever, when Chris Weidman, when he fought Anderson Silva the first time and he knocked him out with that one punch. It was a combination of Weidman fighting, but it was also wanting Anderson Silva to lose.
You didn't like the spider, huh?
Not as a great fighter. I just didn't like his antics.
All right,
the arrogance, putting his chin out, well, he did that against Weidman. And guess what
and
happened?
And then he got knocked the F out. Yeah.
And it was just that one hit. And the second he hit him, I knew it was over. And it was almost like I couldn't believe it. Because honestly, Chris Weidman, I really didn't know much about him before the fight. I looked at him and I was like, this guy looks like an insurance broker, you know? And he goes in there and just destroys him. And I had never, seriously, that was one of the biggest victories I'd ever seen in sports.
Rory, very popular figure, comes through and wins the Masters. What's the most you've ever rooted for just an athlete, not a team? You wanted that guy to have success. Who was it and why? 248-539-9797. Get to some more Tiger stuff next hour here on 97.1 The Ticket.